you've been Christian here now for many years, and do you still consider the life you have in you new life? You know, I've been around the Lord for 45 years. I don't know. It doesn't sound like new life to me anymore. New life. Okay. Everybody say new life. Now say new life. Yeah, I feel the difference, don't you? Yeah. And let's let new life be new life in Christ every morning. His mercies are new. You know when that's most important to hear? His mercies are new every morning, is when that last evening you went against your Lord. And the next morning, his mercies are there for you. New every morning. Sometimes we say, oh Lord, if I was you, I'm not sure I'd have so much grace. New life. Well, we witness a new life in Christ last Sunday. And unfortunately, Sergio's in the hospital today having his knee looked at. He's got a, might be a football knee, I don't know, but he's having his knee looked at. But last Sunday, Sergio Flores asked me to baptize him. We did some teaching together before this, and he was just wowed. When you share the scriptures with someone about how much God loves them and what great lengths he went to reach you and to bring you home, you say, wow. And that's what Sergio kept saying over and over. I wish you were in my office with me when we were doing this together. Wow. And so here's Sergio, the old Sergio, before Christ, okay? And you know, I always remind people in the baptistry that water represents a grave, and that this old heart's dying to itself. It's taken itself off of the master's chair and dying to itself. It's going underwater because when you die, you got to bury dead things, right? And so the water goes under the water, and the burial of the dead, just like Jesus did. He lived, he died on the cross, he was buried, and he was raised to new life. Well, that's what we do in the baptism ceremony. It becomes like Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5 talks about. It's a wedding ceremony. If you've been united, there's that wedding word, if you've been united with Christ like this, in a death, burial, and resurrection, then you will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Wow, there's a great promise. That's new life. Yeah. Okay, let's close in prayer. That was great. That was awesome. So next Sunday, we'll have a Bible and a certificate for Sergio here, and he's just thrilled. He said, oh, by the way, he said, let me pull this up. This is too good to not. We were texting back and forth this morning, and Sergio said this. In terms of his knee, thank you. I could use all the prayers today. If I make it back, I'll see you today. If not, we'll reconnect next Sunday. I look forward to meeting with Jeff Capps. He and I I'm going to connect Jeff and Sergio together, and Jeff's going to mentor Sergio. Blessings. Please give my blessings to my church family. See the connecting happening already? You can tell how people are connecting by how they describe their relationships. My church family. Awesome. All right. Well, with those around you, discuss this question. What was one of your most positive and memorable resurrection Sundays or Easter Sundays? What was one of your most memorable resurrection Sundays? Go ahead.
Easter that I had as a Christian, and I give myself to the Lord.
Yeah, that's memorable. Uh-huh. Yeah, boy howdy. Anyone else? Mabel?
Have an
Easter dinner with the relatives.
Okay, Easter dinner with the relatives. Yeah, that's always good. Yeah, making me hungry.
On Easter Sunday, I was baptized.
Oh, there's Mary, and there's Steve Bailey, and there's Kay Bailey. Emma. Oh, wow, we have a lot of spiritual birthdays coming up. Okay, do you remember what year? 1951. That was before I was born. I had to go there, didn't I? See, I'm these two's kid. Okay, I see one over here.
It was very memorable for Dan's mother because she was in the hospital having Dan.
Oh,
you're an Easter baby, a resurrection baby, Resurrection Sunday baby. It's never been on Sunday since. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I would have to say that last Easter would be the most memorable. It would never be a happy thought when my daughter was dying, and the family was all gathered around her bed, and she was unable to talk, but we were sure she could still hear us. And the family gathered around her bed and sang "He Arose." Oh. It was horrible singing, but it was memorable. That was for sure. But I'll never forget it. Thank you.
Oh,
yeah, that's powerful. He arose up from the grave. He arose. You know these wonderful hymns that we've sung for years and years that produce in us a confidence, a reassurance. And so, Helen, thank you for taking the courage to share that with us today. One more? Yeah, Kayla? When Mark and his brothers, so that would be Sean and Ryan and John Gilsdorf. Who else? Raise your hand if you were in that play several years back. They did a play up here of the resurrection story. Christ's death and resurrection. Oh, my goodness, was that powerful. Yeah, I think it's time to do that again, Mark.
Okay. Isn't it cool to think of these things? A memorable Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday is only 3 weeks away. And as Christ people, we need to be prepared for what God wants to do in our community and who in our community he's going to bring here to us on Resurrection Sunday. So I've prepared a series of messages, and today's message is called Preparing My Church for... Well, back up. We'll get there. There we are. Preparing my church for wow, okay? Now, wow is not a word you can say boringly. Wow. And backwards. Upside down. Mom. So everybody say wow. Yeah, that's what we want to give to Athena when they come here Resurrection Sunday. March 18th, we're preparing my... There we go. Okay. Preparing my church for... Okay, try it again. Preparing my church for... All right. Next, March 18th, preparing my heart for... Okay. And then whatever the next day is, March 25th... Preparing Athena, preparing our neighbors for, and then Resurrection Sunday. Wow! Okay, we're going to spend 3 weeks preparing for wow, because Jesus Christ did something that is so historically changing for the entire world that it's nothing but a
wow.
I think you got this. And it's an added bonus that this year Resurrection Sunday is on April Fool's Day. Because when you think about it, yeah, wow. The biggest fool of all time was revealed early one Sunday morning about 2,000 years ago when Jesus died. Satan thought he had won because his ultimate weapon was, past tense, was death. I wonder if the devil laughed, thinking that he had outwitted God and believing that mankind now was helplessly and hopelessly lost in a never good enough world and a never good enough standing with God. But when Jesus rose 3 days later, everybody smile, victorious over death, the final joke was on Satan.
He went, wow.
I think Jesus, or Satan walked up to the empty tomb and went, oh, crap. Sorry, Paul. Didn't mean to use your word. Oh. Yeah. Forgive me, Lord. Wow. Oh, shoot. All right. Romans 6, 9 and 10. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died, when he died once for all to break the power of sin. The power of sin to control you. Now, the power of sin to tempt you is still here in this broken world, but the power of sin to control you is gone. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Lives for the glory of God. What should be our response to this truth? Well, Romans 6, 11. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Dead yet alive. You see, the wisdom of God is foolishness to man. Dead but alive. Surrender but victorious. The world goes, no, that logic doesn't work. You don't surrender to become victorious. In Christ you do. Surrender yourself. Satan's plan has backfired. Amen. Wow. I was waiting for that. In Christ we now have a great and confident hope that instead of a never good enough relationship with God, we now have an always good enough in Christ relationship with him. Always good enough. Wow. Do you sometimes think it's not good enough when you remember the things you've done or the things you're about to do? This is the wow that we want other people to know when they come see us on resurrection morning. It's a great wow. For some people who will be with us on resurrection morning, it will be either a first experience in going to church. You remember yours? How scary that was? Maybe you got to the door and turned around and went home. When I was in high school, I'd already given my life to the Lord when I was 12, sixth grader, up at Cove Christian Camp. And then I got into junior high, and I just kind of wandered off my own way. I didn't go back to church until I was 20. Wow, yeah. And I remember walking down Main Street, Elgin, Oregon, And when it came to the Elgin Christian Church, I would cross the street and walk because I didn't feel worthy to walk in front of the church. I didn't understand something that I do now. That I live in an always good enough relationship in Christ. Because of what he's done, not me, but what he's done. Folks are coming to experience church, perhaps for the very first time. For some folks, they'll be coming to church to attempt to give God a second chance with them. Or perhaps an attempt to ask God to give them a second chance. People will be coming to Athena Christian Church with the hope that they will find a family to which they can belong, to be a part of something that gives meaning and purpose to their lives. Brothers and sisters, we must be ready. Should we not? Everybody shake your head, yes, we should be ready. We should be ready because people are looking for life. Resurrection Sunday is one opportunity to make our vision of ACC come alive in an all-church effort. Vision says, this is why we exist. And mission says, this is how we're going to fulfill that vision. Vision, mission. Vision says, here's why we exist. Mission says, here's how we're going to fulfill that vision. Our vision at ACC, anybody, can you say it? Right. We're here to connect people to Jesus and each other. That's our vision. And our mission, we fulfill our vision by connecting people in meaningful relationships with God and with others using relational environments. Well, that's kind of a funny term, in relational environments. But let me explain that. What we're doing right here, right now, we call worship service, is a relational environment. How relational is it? Very little. Why? Because you're looking at the back of each other's heads, right? You're not doing a whole lot of visiting and getting to know each other. And yeah, we do some of that beforehand and afterwards. But for the most part, worship service is, it's relational, but a small relation. What about adult, youth, and children's Sunday school classes? That's more relational or less than worship? It's more relational. Yeah, we sit around tables and we talk to each other and we enjoy some refreshments together and we chit-chat and then we get into the lesson. So it's more relational. What about youth groups, small groups, prayer groups, interest groups, skill-building groups, prayer groups, and so on? Okay, small groups. More relational, aren't they? Very much more relational. Yeah, we're sitting around where small groups are designed to really give people a chance to share themselves and learn about one another and pray for one another. And I think small groups in most settings is where we do our deepest church. Yeah, our deepest life and relationship building. Along with that, we have a food pantry ministry, a benevolence program, and so on and so on. I can't list all of them right now. I've got 2 pages worth of ministry that goes on here. Brothers and sisters, wonderful stuff. It's wow what you do that matters to Athena. So, our vision, not only the things we just listed, but ACC is connecting with our community through fun and meaningful efforts to bless people in our community. Trunk or Treat last year was huge. Rick Cromie gave us a vision for a July 4th celebration to invite the entire city to. Wow, that's a fun idea. We are praying for our entire city. It's called Prayer for the City Guides. They're on the back tables. I meant to bring one up here and show you. Please take one. If you don't have a couple of bucks to pay for it, take it and use it. Pray, 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 pray over your city, over your neighbors. Pray. Because God said this. Do you guys remember last year when we did a teaching series on prayer? And the main point, opening and umbrella point of the entire series is this. God is all-powerful. He is sovereign, meaning he doesn't need anyone's help to be God. He can do it all by himself. But he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. Okay? He's got it. But God has said to you and me, the church, I have limited myself to work through your prayer. You kidding me, God? Oh, I don't need to pray. He'll use somebody else. Really? What if he wants to work through you? Discipline yourself to pray. Some weeks I'm really good at it, and some weeks I just stink in my prayer life. But brothers and sisters, let's pursue. God won't work unless we pray, because he said, I'm limiting myself in this way. What does that do to the responsibility for us as prayers, as prayer warriors, going to battle against the dark forces of this world, Ephesians chapter 6? Wow. Now, I'm not saying that's how God works all the time. But when he decides to work through our prayers, let's listen to that. Okay? Inside your bulletin, open up your bulletin. You should have a bright green piece of paper. Bright green piece of paper in your bulletin. And it says at the very top, missing from the kingdom. Write your neighbor's name, a family member. Hopefully, and first priority in my mind is write someone down that you have relationship with, that you can foster friendship with here in Athena or your workplace or somewhere nearby, that you have communication with these people and visit with them. Pray for them. Pray, because God already wants them to know Jesus. And he said, I'll work through your prayer. Think of a prayer like this. Oh, I love this. Father God, would you meet with Jim? I'm covering him in prayer, and I'm asking you to meet with him. And Father, that your spirit would get his attention, and that something that perhaps we talk about or someone else talks about that he might bring up in conversation would spur a question of his, and I'll be ready to answer it. Lord, would you meet with Jim? See the prayer? It's God. God, would you go meet? That's what prayer is about. Asking God. And then us being ready to join him in that work. We are praying over our entire city. We aim to reach out to every home in friendship and in prayer in every home in our city over the next 2 years. Going out with a little bags of oranges and apples. You know what the funnest part of this is? Can I tell you about this? I know you guys have heard a lot about this. Maybe you're sick of hearing it. But here's the funnest part. Knock, 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 knock. Open the door. Hi, my name is Delbert, and this is Bob, whoever's with me. And we're just here to say we want to give you something. People who come to your door usually want something. We're here to give you something. Free. No, we're not asking anything of you. And we're just out here to bless our community. We just want you to know we care. And I wanted to ask you, is there anything we could pray for you about? And you know what? There's a lot of times people say, yes, I've got, the last place Sherry and I went to. And the gal said, my mom got cancer. It was very emotional for her. We gathered around, we prayed. She was so grateful, wasn't she, Sherry? She was so grateful that we would come to her door, give her a gift, and pray over her mother. How long did that take? We were there, what, 5 minutes? And a blessing was given. Okay? Fear will stop us if we let fear get in our ear. Oh, that rhymes. Don't let fear get in your ear. It might draw a tear. Oh, we better quit there. One awesome way to prepare a church for wow is by being thoughtful about our guests before they arrive. Why? Because when people realize that we've prepared for them before they have arrived, they feel special. You were thinking of me. Cool. Here's a very important reason for preparing our church for wow starting today. For most people, the world has crushed any notion of their God-given value and worth to Him. How do we know this? God is no longer welcome in our culture, our schools, our government agencies, our courtrooms, our stadiums, our workplaces, our school sports games, award ceremonies, graduations, and so on and so on. God is no longer welcome. And where our children used to go and sing songs about God bless America. Can't do that. I can't raise my right hand in the court and say, so help me God. I still do. No wonder people don't know that God has an eye and a heart for them. Many people today aren't even sure that God exists, much less notices or loves them. There may be some who come to ACC in 3 weeks who doubt that any loving God is anywhere close by. Growing up in an unsafe environment, suffering hurtful experiences, perhaps even with the church, and being bombarded with seemingly endless news reports of school shootings, government corruption, can cause a person to see any God as mean and vindictive and distant. This is what's inside the hearts and minds of people who are coming to us in 3 weeks. This is why it's highly important for us to be very thoughtful of them before they arrive. Where do we start? Good question. We start with your heart and mind. Being thoughtful says to our guests, we plan for you. We plan for you to come check us out. We're ready. We're ready for you. Being ready to connect with people is a part of God's mission. Philippians 2:4, which we read this morning. Do not only look out for the interest of yourself, but also the interest of others. And 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 says to be ready to give your reason for the hope you have in Christ. Be ready. Be ready. Before you're asked, be ready. What's your reason for why you hope in Christ? It's easy for those of us who attend ACC regularly to forget that guests don't know where things are, how long a service is, where their kids go, where is the nursery, where are the bathrooms, where do they go after this service is over. On Resurrection Sunday, let's anticipate the needs of our guests. Matthew 7:12. Anybody know the golden rule? Treat others as you would like to be treated. What if this was your first Sunday coming here? How would you want to be treated? You see, it's possible to be friendly and still be unthoughtful. But it's virtually impossible to be unfriendly and thoughtful. So thoughtfulness leads to friendliness, and friendliness plants the seed of hope that it is possible to belong to a real family that has a real purpose. So here are some ideas to help us add thoughtfulness to their church experience in 3 weeks. We want to make our guests' experiences, make our guest experience with us surprisingly personal and fun. Make it personal and fun. Okay? How many of you here like fun? Woohoo! We've done some laughing today. That's fun. I love to laugh. My mom taught me how to laugh. You know, and the greatest thing my mom taught me is to laugh at yourself. She could do that. It was awesome to see that. People are drawn to fun. And you know, fun has a way of disarming caution and, I don't know, maybe I should go home. And fun just draws us all in. We enjoy having fun. And we enjoy having fun together. Here's an example. Imagine a welcome team of five of you. A welcome team of five of you. Some of you who enjoy meeting people, you pull a wagon. You're outside, ready for guests to arrive. You pull a wagon out to their car, and the little kids get in. And they go, "Oh, Mom, Dad, look, I get a wagon." We pull them to the door. And then another one of you greets them at the door. High five, buddy. And we do the high five thing. And then you bring them into the church building and introduce them to the next guest who, or the next greeter who's here, and gives them Bolton, welcomes them, glad you're here, so glad you came. Is there any questions we have for you? I've got some information that help answer some questions. And then perhaps even another one of you just floating around watching. Somebody sitting by themselves, uh-oh. Go see who they are. Introduce yourself. Okay? You've experienced this with me sometimes. We'll be getting ready for the worship service to begin, and somebody new who comes, and you'll come to me and say, "Who is that?" And I said, "I don't know. Go introduce yourself." It's like, if I don't know you, I'm never going to know you. No, you make the first move. That's what God does. See, this is God's mission. He made the first move, didn't he? He came into your darkness when you couldn't come out into his light. This is awesome stuff. And it gives people an experience to go, wow. So once our guests are inside the building, then greeters inside introduce themselves, hand out bulletins, answer questions. Another greeter available to guide people around the buildings as needed. Sit with guests. And after the service, greeters introduce guests to the pastor, maybe some key small group leaders, Sunday school teachers. Just say, "Hi, this is Mark. Mark is our worship service leader." And those kind of things. People want to meet others. And finally, greeters use the wagon to haul the kids back out to the car. Use their names. "So glad you came today. Hope you enjoyed that. We sure enjoyed having you here." There's more ideas besides this. I'm just throwing out a few. What does this say to you? If you were the guest and you saw your kids having a great time being pulled in a wagon and enjoyed a fun time in the worship service, heard something that touched your heart, and people used your name, what would that be like for you? Would you go, "Oh, that was a bummer"? Or would you say, "Wow, that was a great experience. Those folks were ready for us." Caitlin and I went to a convention in Pendleton here a couple of years ago. It was a new company that sells electronics and plumbing and that kind of stuff. Platt is the name of the company. And they had their convention center in Pendleton all set up. We got out of our car, we walked, we didn't even get up to the sidewalk, and we were greeted. Got up on the sidewalk before we got through the door to the convention center, got greeted again. Got through the door to a greeting table, got greeted a third time and given a free hat, and got into then to the convention center itself and was greeted by every table we visited. Wow! Wow. So being thoughtful of our guests before they arrive answers the question every guest has. Do you really care about me?
I'm not just a face in a crowd. You saw me. You came to me. You took initiative, you see, and you noticed me. Because what people know about, or what they think about God is first how they were received by you and me. Is that right? Right. How we impress them, what we impress upon them is what they think about God. One of the simplest things we can do to create a fun time is simply this. Smile. Really, really think about it. Okay, let's do this. Here's a little exercise. Group up into pairs of two, okay? Pairs of two or three. You can do three. And look at, person one. Choose who's going to be person one. Person one, look at the other person, make eye contact, and smile. Did you just hear what happened? Did you hear it? Laughter. Still happening. Stop smiling out there. Yeah. Okay, person two, what was your response to the smile? You smiled back. Smiling is one of the funnest things we can do for other people, okay? So remember this, now in 3 weeks, every one of you has the responsibility and the assignment to smile. To smile. Okay? It's interesting to me. I'm really aware of this because of my singing group training when I was in Bible college, over here singing away with no smile on my face. Oh, the joy of Jesus. He's so good to me. What do you guys get? Well, that dude is a sour grape, you know? No, smile. Yeah. Okay, we're practicing smiling for the next 3 weeks. And then hopefully after that, too. All right. Bottom line for being thoughtful about our guests is this. They will see that God is for them by how we serve them. Those are blanks on your outline if you want to fill those in. They will see that God is for them by how we serve them. By how we serve them. You see, God thought of you before you arrived, even before he created the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. I think that's... Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy with... out fault in his eyes. Even before we arrived, he was ready for us. This is what we want to do for our guests. Worship team, come on up. Vision 18. For those of you who've signed up for the teams, wonderful. We're going to have a meeting after ABF. And let's start thinking of ways we can touch our community and bless each other, okay? Touch our community, bless each other, all right? For those of you who have signed up on a Vision 18 team, would you stand? If you've signed up on a Vision 18 team, would you stand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, okay? Wonderful, thank you. Yeah. A total of 25 people have signed up. Not everybody's here today. So the cookies we have downstairs, you'll have plenty. Brothers and sisters, let's respond. God is taking the initiative with us. Pray with your neighbor, and then go introduce yourself to neighbor and do this. And it's fun. It's fun. Let's stand together. Sing God's goodness.